And I just had a few words more to say, since we are in the midst of a series on the purpose of the church, the great ends of the church. I wanted to just follow up on what Susan and Mariah have brought to you. Last week, I mentioned a story of a workshop that I had attended on Christian education and faith development for young children, and that the workshop leader said, the one thing I really want you to learn at this workshop is that what we teach the young children is not so much the content of the Sunday school classes, but what we really want is for children to know that they are loved in a place where we talk about God. And here at Montclair Presbyterian Church, we never stop learning what that means, to let people know that they are loved in a place where we talk about God. We emphasize the importance of providing opportunities to learn and grow throughout life, that it's not just something we do as children, but even as adults, we continue this lifelong learning process. You'll be hearing more in a few minutes about our adult education program that's just getting underway. But for the teenage years as well, we emphasize this. For the past 30 years, under Susan's leadership, the youth group has provided a safe place for middle school and high school kids to learn and to grow and to know that they are loved in a place where we talk about God. And this has included their summer mission trip. They've been to the Indian Reservation in Arizona. They've built habitat houses in Montana, working with homeless people and elderly people in Washington, D.C. And these trips offer opportunities for self-discovery for the young people through service, through getting outside of their daily routines and their familiar surroundings. But the trips are valuable not just for what they learn, for what the young people learn from being out there in the world, but also what they can show to the people they encounter, what they teach to the people they come in contact with, what they teach to the world. One of the great ends of the church is the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world, which means that one purpose of the church is to offer a vision of what the world would be like if God were in charge, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And it's to offer an alternative vision, a different way of being with one another, a different way of interacting with one another, with people we know and with strangers. One of my professors in seminary, Roy Fairchild, talked about shortly after World War II, he was traveling to Germany and Austria. He was studying Jungian psychology and had a chance to go there and work directly with this Jung and his group. And his travel arrangements got, connections were missed, and the person who was supposed to meet him, whom he didn't know, at the train station, when Roy's train got in 8-10 hours late, and there was no one there to meet him, and he was hungry, and there were no cell phones in those days. He had no idea of how he was going to get in touch with this person. And he sat down in the train station in despair. It was completely deserted. It was late at night. And this elderly woman who was helping to sweep the floors came and sat down next to him and offered him half of her sandwich. And he said, "Why are you doing this for me?" And her response was, "Gott ist gut, Jesus ist mein Herr. God is good and Jesus is my Lord." And then finally, his host found him and took him home. But it was that moment of hope in a hopeless situation that meant so much to him about a way of exhibiting the kingdom of heaven to the world. And I've told this story to the children before, that one of Peggy Alter's friends was traveling in India and was getting onto a crowded train and was running to catch this train and jumped for the last car. And just as he jumped on, one of his shoes fell off onto the track as the train was pulling away. And as he clambered up onto this car, he ran to the back and pulled off his other shoe and flung it back to where the other one was. And when asked to explain that, he said, "I am a disciple of Jesus Christ." And at my husband Chandler's church in Michigan, they give an invitation frequently on Sunday sometimes when it's Communion Sunday, but other times just to, as they're welcoming people there. And the worship leader will say, "We welcome you here not because you are Christian, but because we are. And it is our calling to extend the hospitality and welcome of God to everyone who walks through these doors." Exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world, to a different way of being, the community of God in the world. So when this group of kids goes to Washington, D.C., when they give up their precious summer vacation time, when they sleep on the floors in churches, when they serve food to the hungry and treat homeless people with respect, they are exhibiting the kingdom of heaven to the world, this alternative way of being. They are overturning and subverting the society's expectation of what teenagers are like, that they are self-centered, that all they want to do is go to the malls or play video games. Instead, here are these young people figuring out how to prepare this meal even when the cook doesn't show up until later. And Susan said that when one of the days when they were serving the lunch to the homeless people, one of the men came and sat down and said, "I was just served by an angel." And they are also, in a group like this, learning how to live according to an alternative vision as they learn how to treat each other with respect as well. As Mariah was talking about, it's not just the strangers that you treat with respect, but the people that you're closest to and with whom you might be uncomfortable in unique ways. That you work through the inevitable conflicts and tensions that arise in any group of people, and especially with teenagers as they try to understand and define themselves in terms of how they fit into the big picture, as they try to find their place in society as a whole and in the small societies they find themselves in. In the letter to the Ephesians, it talks about how the church is learning how to be a new creation, a new community in the world that is going to exhibit an alternative way of being a community in the world by showing God's love and how we devote ourselves to the poor and hungry and the oppressed, and also showing God's love in how we treat one another within the community. So I'd like to close just by reading that Ephesians passage again, and this is from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of those scriptures that he calls The Message. What this adds up to then is this: no more lies, no more pretense, tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other after all. When you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. Go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry. But don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. God's Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for God. Don't take such a gift for granted. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with God and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Amen.